Would like to ask you this morning, if you will, please turn in your book, the Bible, the Word of God. Turn in your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 10. Proverbs chapter 10. I used to teach school, and sometimes I would say, turn in your books. Here I am reverting back to 35 years ago. Proverbs chapter 10. I would like to read one verse from Proverbs chapter 10 and one verse from Proverbs chapter 11. Before I begin to try to read and study from God's holy word, I would ask that you please join your hearts together with me in a moment of prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for everything. We know that every good gift and every perfect gift comes from Thee, and our lives have been filled to overflowing. We can never begin to thank You, Lord, for Your goodness to us. We look forward to the time that we're going to be in that eternal heaven, in that home not made with hands, eternal in the heavens, where there will be no more sorrow, sickness, no more pain, and no more death. But we look forward to the time that we'll be able to give Thee the praise, honor, and glory that's due Thy great and holy name. For we know that in this world we never worship Thee in absolute perfection, but one day we're going to really be able to give You the praise, honor, and glory that You deserve. And we look forward to that day, but we're thankful that while we live here in this world, that You've given us Thy church and Thy kingdom and blessed us to be a part of that, and You've given us Thy holy word to read and study and learn, as we just sang, more about Jesus I would know, more of His love to others show, more of His saving fullness see, more of His love who died for me. Lord, we thank You for the privilege that we have in this world to know Jesus. We're thankful that we can have intimate fellowship with the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. Thou hast taught us that this is eternal life, to know Thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom Thou hast sent. So we thank You, Lord, for the abundant life, the eternal life that we can have right now. We're thankful that we can lay hold on eternal life. And we pray that You would help us all this day, that as we've come together, that we might be filled with the Holy Spirit. Thou hast taught us that if we, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto our children, how much more shall our Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him. So we come this morning asking You to fill us all with Thy Holy Spirit, that we would be lifted up and plant our feet on heaven's tableland, that we would, as we sang, that we would dwell on higher ground, that we would be lifted up together and sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus our Lord. We do beg Thy blessings upon all those that are sick and afflicted. We pray that You would touch them and lift them up and restore them to their health. We pray that You would bless us to minister to them, and help us, Lord, to love one another and to love Thee with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Help us, Lord, to remember the most important thing is for us to have godly love every day. Bless us now as we try to study Thy holy word. We pray in the blessed and holy name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. From Proverbs chapter 10, I would like to read verse 24. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 24, the Word of God says, "The fear of the wicked, it shall come upon him, but the desire of the righteous shall be granted." It's that word desire that's on my heart this morning. And the Scripture says here, "The desire of the righteous shall be granted." I also want you to look at Proverbs chapter 11, verse 23. Proverbs 11, verse 23, the Word of God says, "The desire of the righteous is only good." The desire of the righteous is only good, but the expectation of the wicked is wrath. I want us to think about desire, about that earnest longing for, and there may be a lot of different things that we desire. Did you know the Word of God even talks about some desires that Satan has and some desires that Jesus has? For example, Jesus made this statement as he was about to participate in the communion service, he said, with desire, I have desired to partake of this communion with you. With desire, I have desired to partake of this. And then also the Word of God tells us about Satan. The Word of God says, Satan hath what? Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. So we're trying to think about desire. We're not going to be concentrating on what the Word of God tells us about Jesus desiring to have communion with us. We're not going to be concentrating on Satan desiring to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But we're going to be talking about desires that the people of God have. We have many different kinds of desires. There are some desires that are good to have, and there are some desires that are very wrong to have. The Word of God tells us in the book of Ephesians, in chapter 2, if you go back and home and read verses 1 through 5, you'll find that the Word of God there talks about how we were before God came and quickened us. And one of the expressions that's found there is that we were fulfilling the desires of our heart and our mind. Did you know that before a person is born of the Spirit of God, they fulfill the desires of their heart and mind, and they have no guilty feelings about that. They don't feel that they've done anything wrong. They fulfill lustful desires. They fulfill evil desires. But if a person has been born of the Spirit of God and quickened and made alive, they have a new heart, and the Spirit of God convicts them, though they may still sometimes desire evil things, when they partake of that, they have that conviction by the Holy Spirit. But there was a time that we fulfilled lustful desires. The Word of God says that the soul of the wicked desireth evil. There are multitudes of scriptures. In fact, there are over 200 scriptures that talk about desire. Good desire, things that we ought to desire, and evil desires. The Word of God talks about mischievous desire. Sometimes people have it. This can be children of God or those that are not children of God. Sometimes we have mischievous desires. The Word of God says that we're not to be desirous. Listen carefully. This is from Galatians chapter 5 and verse 26. The Word of God says, let us not be desirous of vain glory. Have you ever been desirous of vainglory? Brethren, that's part of human nature. Your flesh desires glory. Though the Word of God teaches that we're to be giving all glory to God, we as human beings, part of our nature desires self-glory. And the Word of God says, let us not be desirous of vainglory. So there are many, many other scriptures that talk about things that we might desire. The Word of God even tells us in the book of Revelation that there were those that would desire death, but they could not find it. They would rather be dead than experiencing all that they were going through. They desired death, but God would not let them die because He was going to be carrying out judgment in their lives. Now, let's talk about good desires. What are some good desires? Well, 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 1, the Word of God says, if a man desire the office of a bishop, he desireth a good work. It's a good work. It's a work. It's a blessing. It's a calling from God. But the Scripture says there, if a man desire the office of a bishop, he desireth a good work. The Word of God also tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 11, it tells us how the church at Corinth at that point, now I'll tell you, brethren, there's a major difference in the desires of the church at Corinth when the first letter was written and the desires of the church at Corinth when the second letter was written. The church at Corinth was in a terrible condition. You go home and read 1 Corinthians, read about all kinds of troubles and ungodliness in the church. But then when you read 2 Corinthians, the Apostle Paul commends them because they had made great changes in their lives, because when they heard what they were doing wrong, they repented. And the Word of God says that with vehement, that is strong desire, they wanted to do what God would have them to do. Did they have a good desire in 2 Corinthians 7:11? with vehement, that strong desire, they desired to do what God would have them to do. The Word of God tells us in Hebrews chapter 11, or what kind of people are listed in Hebrews chapter 11? Good people or bad people? People that love God and serve God, or people that did not love and serve God in Hebrews 11? The main passage of Scripture in Hebrews 11 is all about the saints of God that walk by faith and live by faith. You know, there's an expression there in Hebrews chapter 11 that said they desired a better country. Do you desire that this morning? Do you desire something better than the things of this world? Do you want to live above the things of the world? Are you satisfied with living in and among the heathen and ungodly? If you are, there's some great doubt as to whether you've been born of the Spirit of God. But if you can't be happy, if you can't be satisfied by the things of the world, then you probably have been born of the Spirit of God, and you need to pray that God will help you to truly desire a better country. And I'm not just talking about when you die, going to eternal heaven. There's a better country. There's a better living for the people of God while they live here in this world. And that's what Hebrews 11 and 12 is about. It's about this better living that we can have when we obey God. We need to desire this better country that we can have while we live here in this world. Now, I want us this morning to look primarily at two men of God that the Word of God tells us about had great desires. And I would ask you this morning, whenever I try to read and study God's Word, you know who I think about more than anyone else? I think about me. And I've questioned over and over all during this week as I've thought about the subject of desire. I've thought about, what kind of desires do I have? What is it I desire? You just think in your own mind, what is it you really desire? What is it that's really important in your life? What is it that you think about most of the time? Whatever it is that you're thinking about, whatever it is that you're concentrating on in your life, that's probably what your greatest desire is. Yes, that's where your heart will be. Now, brethren, we need to think about and examine ourselves and consider our ways and just think about, what is it we really desire? What do you desire? Let's look at the Word of God now, and let's think about just a couple of men of God. And I want to remind you that you nor any other man in the Bible has ever been completely, totally desiring good things. As human beings, there will be times that the devil gets in your heart and mind, just like he got in Peter's and Paul's and Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Job and every other faithful servant of God. There will be times that you will have evil desires. But what you need to do is to begin to recognize those desires and think about, what am I desiring? What is it that's most important? I need in my life, I need to set some goals. I need to set objectives in my life. I need to think about, what do I really desire out of life? If I die today, have I accomplished what I desired to accomplish? Do you want to accomplish something in your life? Are there goals that you have? Do you think that there's a work that God has for you to do? And my question is, do you really desire to do the Lord's will in your life? Do you really want to do what God would have you to do? Do you desire to please God? Do you desire to walk with God? Do you recognize that you have other kinds of desires? Is there something you can do to overcome those evil desires and put them out of your heart and mind? And are there things that you can do to concentrate on good and right desires? Let's go back first of all to Psalm 27. Back up in your Bible to Psalm 27. We're going to think about David, Lord willing, for a few minutes. I want to think about David and some things that the Bible tells us that David desired. First, I want you to notice in Psalm 27 and verse 4, and I'm going to tell you again this morning that the things that we're going to be looking at the rest of the morning, Lord willing, are things that David desired and things that Paul desired. And the things that we're going to be looking at that they desired, They ought to be things that we desire. And sometimes all it takes is to have it brought to our attention. I need to change what my affections are on. I need to change my desires. I'm so thankful for the Word of God. I'm so thankful that God just sometimes will say, stop making excuses. Last Wednesday, I mean, it just hit me right between the eyes when Brother David was teaching out at Baptist Village. Quit making excuses. You're without excuse. Thou art inexcusable, O man. There are no excuses. And that's been on my heart. Let me tell you a little funny on that. Brother Ken Drayton and I, Brother Ken likes to fish, and he wanted to go fishing Friday, and so I went out to Baptist Village and somebody rolled him down to the dock. In fact, Brother Dwayne Smith, the administrator there, rolled him down to the dock, and then I sat there with him on the dock. And a number of years ago, I was out there with another man that wanted to fish, and he dropped my knife down in the water. Well, I was still thinking about that knife that was down there in the water, so I asked Brother Carthel if he had a big magnet I could go out there and just drag along in the water while I was out there with Brother Ken. So I was out there while he was fishing for fish. I was out there dragging from my old pocket knife. Probably wouldn't have been any good now, but I still wanted it. Well, Brother Ken caught 4 pretty brim, and then they just quit biting. And Brother Ken said, you know, if you'd have quit throwing that magnet out in the water all the time, he said, I believe I could have caught some more fish. And then, do you know what he said? Now, this is on Friday after we had studied about excuses on Wednesday night. He laughed, he said, no, I'm just making an excuse. He said, that's just excuses like you were talking about Wednesday night. Wow. We make excuses, don't we? We've always got an excuse. Well, listen, brethren, we need to think about that, and we need to think about what does my heart desire? What is the desire of my heart? There ought to be some number one. You ought to have in your mind and in your heart and written down on paper. You ought to go home today and you need to write down, here's my number one desire. What is your number one desire? List some desires you have. Write them down. Set them down in writing. That's what David did. Look at Psalm 27 verse 4. He wrote this down. In Psalm 27 and verse 4, he says, one thing have I... Now, not a bunch of things. He may have had a bunch of lists, but he said there's one thing more important than everything else. One thing have I desired of the Lord, and that will I seek after. Now, sometimes you just desire and you just pray for it, don't you? Well, that's not what David did. David said, one thing have I desired of the Lord, and that will I what? That will I seek after. I'm going to seek after that I desire. I need it to come from God, but I'm going to seek after it, because if I seek after it, maybe God will grant it to me. One thing have I desired of the Lord, and that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. Did you know, brethren, that's one of the greatest desires every child of God ought to have. Sometimes the worst dream I ever have in my life, the worst dream I ever have, is that I have committed a sin that separates me from being able to be in the church and in the house of God and among the people of God and enjoying the blessings of God. David realized, brethren, it was a great blessing to be in the house of God. David said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. What does he say his desire is? One thing have I desired of the Lord, and that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. Why? So he could just have fellowship with the brethren? That's not what he concentrates on. I'm sure he enjoyed the fellowship with the brethren, but he concentrates on something else. He says, to behold the beauty of the Lord. You know what we want to see? You know what we want to see today? You know what we've come here to see? We've come to see more about Jesus. I want to hear more about Jesus. I want to hear more about God. And it doesn't matter, brethren, what part of God's Word you look at. We need to learn more and more about Jesus. We need to learn more about God. I want to behold the beauty of the Lord. Let me ask you this question. When you behold the Lamb of God, when you behold the Lamb of God, are you beholding the beauty of the Lord? When you behold Him on the cross of Calvary, are you beholding the beauty of the Lord while He's on the cross? You are, if you understand what He accomplished on the cross of Calvary.
Are you beholding the beauty of the Lord when you go back there to the creation of this world and you hear Jesus back there speaking this world into existence? Are you beholding the beauty of the Lord when you see the power of God in creation? That's part of beholding the beauty of the Lord. When you turn to the book of Revelation and you read about the judgments that Jesus brings on His disobedient children, when you read that, are you still beholding the beauty of the Lord? Yes, sir, brethren. Everything about Jesus is beautiful. Doesn't matter what part of His life, doesn't matter what characteristic you look at in the life of Jesus. He's beautiful altogether. And that's what David was talking about here when he says, I want to be in the house of the Lord. This is my desire. One thing have I desired, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord. One thing have I desired of the Lord, and that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple. Oh, brethren, that was a good desire, wasn't it?
Amen.
The wonderful thing. That's the reason He said in Psalm 23, one of the last things He says, I can't remember the last thing He said. Psalm 23, verse 6, here it is. Psalm 23, verse 6, surely, listen, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will what?
Dwell
in the house of the Lord forever. I thank God for these old saints that they still want to dwell in the house of the Lord. Have you learned it all yet, Sister Nellie? Have you learned it all, Sister Staldy? Do you still think Jesus is beautiful? Do you still love to come into the house of God? I thank God for the old people. I thank God for the young people. I thank God for these children. They're learning about God. They're learning about the ways of God. They're dwelling in the house of God. I thank God for the parents that are bringing up their children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. I thank God that I thank all of you that one thing, among other things, but one thing you desire, one of the things, I'm going to say that, one of the things you desire is to be in the house of the Lord. Isn't that true? Now, David said that was the ultimate thing, but I'm just going to say right now, one thing we do desire is to dwell in the house of the Lord, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple. It's a good desire. You know where that desire came from, by the way? You know where that desire came from? It came from God. You didn't crunk it up. You didn't just come up with that desire. In fact, the Scripture says, the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. Somebody that hasn't been born again, they don't desire spiritual things. If you ever find, let me ask you this, does that tree out there in the churchyard, does it desire to be in here in the house of God? Does that fence out there, does it desire to be in the house of God? No. Does everybody on this earth, do all humans want to be in the house of God? No. The only people that ever desire to be in the house of God are those that God has come to and has quickened and made them alive and put His Spirit in them, and that causes them to have desires that the natural man does not desire. So if you do desire to learn more about Jesus, if you do desire to be in the house of God, if you do desire to learn more about Jesus and His Word, that's an unmistakable evidence you're a born-again child of God. It's also important for you to know that God's going to judge you here according to your works while you live. You know, the devil, I think one of the most effective tools of the devil is to put judgment off to the end of the time world. You know why that's a good tool for the devil to use against God's people? Because God's people know in the end of the time world, those who know the truth, know that at the end of the time world, there's no fear of judgment there, is there? If you fear judgment at the end of the time world this morning, you don't know the truth about what's going to happen in the end of the time world. I'm not going to be judged according to my works in the end of the time world. I am being judged according to my works while I live here. And I need to understand my works are going to be judged by Jesus right now. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Now, let's go to something else David desired. Look at Psalm 73. Psalm 73 and verse 25. And it's very similar to Psalm 27 verse 4. But I want you to listen very carefully to Psalm 73
And verse 25, here's something else David says he desired. Psalm 73 and verse 25, the Word of God says in Psalm 73, verse 25, the question he's asking David, and I encourage you to go home and read Psalm 73. I don't know of any psalm that means more to me than Psalm 73. I encourage you to read it, study it, think about it. Psalm 73 is a wonderful psalm. It talks about how David doubted. He doubted all kinds of things. He wondered why he was being chastened and why other people got away with murder and nothing happened to him. He wondered why, though he loved God and feared God and tried to serve God, he wondered why he had to suffer so much in this world. He doubted why it was that way until he went into the house of the Lord, and then he understood there are some people that receive no judgment from God in this world, but their judgment is hereafter. Now here's what he says now in Psalm 73, verse 25. He says in Psalm 73, 25, "Whom have I in heaven but thee? And there is none upon earth that I desire beside thee." Now, are there going to be other people in heaven? Eternal heaven I'm talking about now. Certainly there are. And, you know, David said on one occasion, he said, well, this is not David actually that wrote this psalm, but David said on one occasion when his son died, he said, "He can't return to me, but one day I'm going to go to him." But I want you to know that more important than being with my son or my daddy or my friends that have already died, you know, the most wonderful thing that we're going to experience in heaven is being with God. Amen. Being with Jesus. Being with God. He says, "Whom have I in heaven but thee?" That's what this psalmist is saying. That's all I want, is Jesus. Everything's going to be wonderful if I can just be in Jesus' presence. He says, "Whom have I in heaven but thee?" Now listen. "And there is none upon earth that I desire beside thee." Do I desire your friendship? Does God's Word talk about many? In fact, that's what the Bible talks about more than anything else, is the desire that people of God have for each other and the love they have for each other. That's good. That's all right. But David is saying there's something more important than the love we have for each other. There's something more important. There's something that has to take precedence over love for family. There's a desire that we have for our family. There's a desire we have for brothers and sisters in Christ. But there's a desire that's supposed to be greater than that. And he says, "There is none upon earth that I desire beside thee." I want Jesus. I want God. I want His fellowship. I desire Jesus. I'm glad I don't just desire to go to be with Jesus when I die. I'm glad I can be with Jesus right now. I'm glad one day Jesus is going to take me up to heaven. By the way, I'm not going to climb a ladder or ride a train up there. There's all kind of false songs about that. I'm telling you who's going to get me to heaven. That's Jesus Christ. Is coming back. He's going to quicken my body if it's already gone to the dust of the earth. He's going to raise all the saints of God. We're going to be conformed to the image of the Son of God. You're going to be in heaven because Jesus took you there. Now, that's us going to heaven, but you know what Jesus does right now? He comes down here and dwells with us. He dwells with us right here. Jesus said, "Where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them." Did you know Jesus is right here in this house this morning? Jesus is right here. Jesus is here. And he says, "There's none upon earth that I desire beside thee." Is he the number one desire of your heart? Now, can you have other people you desire to be with? I can give you the scriptures to prove that, but who's the number one? Do I desire my wife? Yes, I desire my wife. Do I desire your fellowship? Yes, we're supposed to desire one another's fellowship. But who is it that we're supposed to desire? Whose fellowship? Whose friendship? Is there something you have to do to be a friend of God? Is there something you have to do to be a friend of God? Jesus says, "Ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I've commanded you." If you want to be a friend of Jesus, you've got to keep His commandments. You've got to do what He says. You've got to have a desire to do what He says. That's what 2 Corinthians 7:11 says is, "With vehement desire, I've desired to do what you tell us to do." Isn't it wonderful to see people of God that really want to do what God tells them to do? They just, you know what? They've got a strong desire to do that. They want to do that.
They want to please God. They want to please Jesus. Now, we need to desire to dwell in the house of the Lord, to behold the beauty of the Lord. We need to desire to just be with Christ here and in heaven. But now listen, back up to Psalms just a minute. Back up to Psalm 19, verses 9 and 10. I want us to get to Paul, but I don't think we're going to get there this morning. But listen, brethren, there's a beautiful contrast. Though there are many similarities in what David desired and what Paul desired, I hope that God will bless you, that I hope God will bless all of you to be back tonight, because it's important that you see what the Word of God says about what David desired, and then look at that parallel and contrast, compare and contrast what David desired with what Paul desired. And look at the last thing we'll look at this morning is what David desired in Psalm 19, verses 9 and 10. Psalm 19, verses 9 and 10, the Word of God says, "The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments," listen now, "the judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they." What's that "they" referring back to? Say it again out loud. Somebody tell me. The judgments. Listen again. I'm going to read 9 and 10 together. "The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they," that's the judgments of the Lord, "are more to be desired than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb." Now, sometimes you read about and think about the judgments of God, and you think, "Well, now, I don't want the judgments of the Lord." Let me tell you something, brethren. That's talking about the judgments that God has set forth in His Word. He says, the judgments that God has given are more to be desired than gold, yea, than fine gold. What does that mean? Well, is there a lot of controversy today about homosexuality? Is there a lot of controversy about that? Do some people feel some way and some feel another about that subject? Well, do you know what settles that? It's the judgments of God. And that's the reason God says, now, you don't need to lean to your own understanding. Study the Word. Learn what God says. These are the judgments of God, and they're to be desired. Desire the judgments of God. Are there differences of opinion about church discipline? Are there some churches that say, I don't want to be any part of a church that would put anybody out of the church? Are there some people in many churches that believe that? Certainly there are. Well, who's going to decide what's right and what's wrong? You have to look at the judgments of God. The judgments of God are right. They're true. They're good. They're holy. There's nothing wrong with what God tells us to do.
Amen.
Do you ever wonder about spanking children? Maybe you shouldn't spank children. Maybe you should. How are you going to know? Well, you need to look at the judgments of God and see what God says about it. The judgments of God are more to be desired than gold, yea, than fine gold. I'll tell you, brethren, I can show you many parents today that have not carried out discipline in the home, and they would tell you they'd give every penny they had if their children's lives could be straightened out. Are these better than gold?
Amen.
Are these more important than money? They're to be desired above gold, yea, above fine gold. They're sweeter than honey and sweeter than the honeycomb. The judgments of God are righteous and pure and holy in every way. I pray that God will help us to learn to desire the right things and stop desiring the wrong things. I pray that God will help you today to desire to be in the house of the Lord, to dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of your life. May God bless you to desire the Word of God and the things of God.